We found out at 20 weeks. Obviously, we were very, very upset and worried. We didn't really know what our child would look like or what the future would be. We wanted, we wanted more information to find out whether there was any more serious conditions that were, that our baby might have.
And was that information forthcoming?
I had an amniocentesis straight away.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had to wait for the result. So we came right up to the 24-week limit. Thankfully, there weren't any other... They didn't think there were any underlying conditions, and we went ahead with the pregnancy.
Did you feel supported? Did you feel the medical professionals around you were caring for you, were giving you information about what having a cleft lip meant?
They give you as much information as they can, but obviously they can't predict with certainty what the baby, whether the baby's going to have any further issues. It's all a basis of probability. At the end of the day, it still was our decision whether to go ahead or not.
Did you both consider an abortion?
We did. We did because we had two other children of 2 and 4, and I was very concerned about the impact that having a severely disabled child might have on our family.
Mm.
And I think, I personally think that's my right to consider. Other people might disagree.
Do you consider a cleft lip to be a severe disability?
No, I don't. No, but obviously, if it'd been anything more than that,
yes,
then we may have made a different decision. I don't support abortions after 24 weeks anyway. I think...
Irrespective of the circumstances?
I think it's very tricky, isn't it? Because, at 20 weeks, you've got a very limited window to find out the information you need to make your decision. And we were lucky enough to get, some more information which helped us make our decision.
Mm.
There may be families that aren't lucky enough to get, within that very short period, enough information to make them make the right decision. I don't think I do support it, no.
How old is your son now?
He's 6.
And what treatment did he have for the cleft lip?
He's had 4 operations, and he also was born with a hearing loss, which obviously wasn't diagnosed.
Mm.
And he has worn hearing aids for 3.5 years, which he now no longer needs,
right,
which was linked to the cleft. So he's had speech problems, hearing problems, and he's had obviously quite serious operations, which have been very tough to get through as a family. But we're very clear that we've made the right decision.
Yes,
he's a happy, healthy boy. He's he's had to go through quite a lot to get to that stage, but within a few short years, he's in the mainstream primary school with his brothers, very academically able, very sporty. So, yes, we've made the right decision.
Can I ask you if there was ever a moment, a second, a minute, where you or your partner wondered if you had made the right decision?
Definitely. Lots of moments over the last few years, because it's very tough watching your child go through any kind of painful operation. It's very tough watching them crying in pain, and so there are obviously are moments where you think, well, if we had made a different decision, we wouldn't have to watch him go through this.
Mm.
I couldn't judge any parent for deciding that that's the right decision for them to terminate their pregnancy because their child's seriously disabled. But I would say that the information and support for parents of children with CLEFs is wonderful and is available on the internet and through the Cleft Lip and Palate Association, and we were very lucky to get that support early on.
Yeah.
Straight away.
Sarah, can I introduce you to Andrew in Cardiff, who's 35. Good morning, Andrew.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hi. Sarah, Andrew, Sarah. Andrew, you were born with a cleft lip and palate, I think. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct, yeah.
Right. And briefly, just tell us how that's affected your life, if it has at all.
It was interesting listening to Sarah in terms of getting, an understanding of what a parent would go through. So from my mum and dad's perspective, because we kind of, I've never really talked about it in depth there, but in terms of the operations, absolutely, I can appreciate, because when kind of my memory got to a certain level where I could acknowledge things. I can remember having these operations, etc., going to speech therapy, and you know, and so on. But apart from that, it really hasn't kind of affected my life at all. So I've gone through high school, then to university, joined a graduate scheme, worked for a leading company. So from that perspective, it hasn't. There's been the kind of minority where there's been slight bullying, etc. But I think that's the society we're in, rather than just having a cleft lip. Mm. But it really hasn't held me back. And I suppose where the shock comes from, when I turn the radio on after I come back from a run and I hear the word disability, cleft lip and palate and abortion, I just can't work out where the link is personally, because I've never seen her as a disability, nor did my parents. And we've got a 9-month-old daughter called Ava, and we've obviously went to the 20-week scan, and there was a possibility that, you know, she could have been having a cleft lip, but not for one moment did we think about having that abortion, because I suppose I'm a little bit more well-informed, having had 35 years on a cleft lip.
Yes. Do you accept that every pregnancy is different, and because you and your parents have treated your cleft lip and palate in a particular way, it doesn't mean another pregnant woman would be able to cope in the same way or adjust in the same way?
I think every parent is kind of entitled to the, you know, they need to bring their children up, etc. And you know, as Sarah's described, you know, she had moments of kind of, I wouldn't say weakness, but kind of, you know, watching your son being very unwell and going through a lot of pain. So, you know, it would be unfair for me to kind of point the finger at any parent and go, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. But certainly with cleft lip, I can only, and this is 35 years ago, so, where the medicine has improved now, I'd imagine it's like chalk and cheese from what I went through. So that the technology around cleft lip and palate would be so more advanced, and it's done me no harm. So from something that would happen now, a child going through the same situation, I'd imagine, you know, the medicine, the operations would be so much better than what I went through. And visually, I can see children, adults who've got cleft lip, but that's because I've gone through it myself. They don't stand out. I point at my wife, that boy or that adult's got cleft lip, and she wouldn't even notice herself.
Mm. Yeah, it is wonderful. The surgery is so fantastic nowadays that you can barely see Rupert's cleft repair. But I'm just glad that I wasn't even given the option of terminating my pregnancy after 24 weeks, because I'd feel so sad to think that there are mums out there maybe with children, you know, that found out at 20 weeks and were given the option after 24 weeks to terminate their pregnancy of a cleft lip and palate child, whereas actually, given the right support, given the right information, and getting over the shock of that diagnosis, they'd see these wonderful children that we've got that actually, yes, it's tough at the beginning. The first few years are very tough when they're going through the operations. But, you know, at the end of that, they're going to have a healthy, capable, mentally, you know, very bright, hopefully, you know, child, you know, that's going to have a normal, happy life and be able to achieve as well as any other adult.
I'm totally blind and also have kidney failure. The technology wasn't around when I was conceived for my parents to make the choice about whether or not to have me. Mm-hmm. But if it had been, and if they had made that choice, that would have been their absolute right to do that. What I also wanted to say is that me and my husband, because he's totally blind as well, we have taken steps to make sure that we can't have children, because we don't want to pass on all the medical problems that we've both encountered.
Do you think, in your mind, is a cleft palate or a club foot on a par with being blind or having kidney failure?
I don't think anyone has the right to make a judgment on what a particular set of parents feel they can cope with. Because every set of parents is different, and not everyone can cope with having a disabled child, and I don't think those parents who decide they can't should be looked down on.
Yes. Fiona Bruce was suggesting that perhaps cleft lip, club foot, cleft palate, and so on are... She didn't use the word cosmetic abnormalities, but it is different to something like Edwards syndrome. She suggested that it's potentially a minor disability.
I understand about comparing anything to Edwards syndrome, but a cleft lip and palate, that's not cosmetic. You know, that can, that gives a child problems with speech, problems with eating. I mean, clubfoot, I understand where she's coming from, but every child copes with things differently, and they still have to have operations. It's still medical procedures that them and their parents have to go through.
And she believes that if more information were given to parents in a position who, you know, a scenario where they discovered their unborn child had a cleft lip or club foot or something similar, if enough information was given to those parents, fewer would choose to abort. Do you agree with that?
I think more information should be given to prospective parents. But I think Fiona Bruce is suggesting that more wouldn't abort. But I think that is her, I think that's her aim. I don't think that's what she thinks. I think that is what she's trying to achieve.
Let me introduce you to Nick. Hi, Nick, in Bedford. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Karen's still with us. You were born with a cleft palate. Your mother also has one. And your son as well was born with one, is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Right. And so when you and your partner discovered at the 20-week scan that your unborn child would have a cleft palate, what did you both think?
Well, obviously with the history which we had within the family, I obviously was concerned a little bit, but I also knew that a cleft palate lip was not going to be a problem which was not overcomable. It was, I've had this, obviously my mum's had this, we both lived very full, productive lives, and the thought, I actually had a situation where a doctor suggested that because my son had a cleft palate, I happened to be seeing him at the time of the scan, well, it was bandied around, oh, it's okay, you can just abort him.
Did they say it like that?
Yeah, almost. Oh yes, it's easy, just. It was almost a throwaway comment. And at the time, I was absolutely incensed. Mm. The thought that here I am speaking to a doctor and he's saying things like that. I find it amazing. If my mother had have had that same thing said, I wouldn't have been sat there now having a conversation with this gentleman.
Yes.
I was absolutely...
Do they not have a duty to tell you... give you all the information, and that includes potentially the choice to terminate?
I think so, yes. My only concern there is people which do not have direct contact with people with clefts, etc., think it's some huge disfiguring problem which will affect them all their lives. Yes, there are operations which will be done during the childhood with both cleft palate and cleft lip. But the fact is, once these operations are all done, which is generally completed by approximately age 12, they then live full productive lives.
Do you think... Sorry, go on, Karen.
Sorry, can I come in there, Victoria?
Of course you can. Yeah.
I'm not... I am totally blind and I'm currently on dialysis. I'm not saying that I haven't lived a full productive life and not that I won't continue to. I certainly do. But
when does a person choose that because they have... you have very serious problems. I fully appreciate that. But the fact with a palate, with a cleft lip, cleft palate, these are not life... threatening, life-changing problems. Yes, children will have problem feeding initially, but the advances which are done nowadays are so much that it really isn't that much of a long-term problem.
No, it's not. But and all the information about that should be given to prospective parents. But it's also the prospective parents' entitlement to decide what they think they can cope with.
Let me bring in Maria in Stratford, Ollie in Cardiff. Good morning, both of you.
Hi, good morning.
Nick and Karen are still with us. Maria, your daughter was born with a cleft palate in February 2011 and it didn't show up on a scan. What do you think about the very few women who terminate a pregnancy after 24 weeks because something like that has shown up?
Well, I'm not going to pass judgment on anybody else. I can only speak about my personal experience. And to me, we had a bit of a shock when my daughter was born. We didn't expect for her to have a problem with her palate. But for me, I look at her now. She's a perfectly happy, healthy 2-year-old girl. She's had all of the operations that she will need to have, and she doesn't appear to be hindered in any way. I don't consider her to have been disabled because she had a cleft palate. Mm. And the amount of joy that she's brought into our lives, I think it would be a real shame if people are missing out on experiences as positive as we've had with our daughter because of, what actually, in the scheme of things, is quite a minor complication.
Ollie, what would you say?
Oh, well, I don't want to judge other people, but based upon my experience in my life, my mum and dad were shocked when I was born. It wasn't brought upon any scanning or anything like that when my mum was pregnant with me. Mm. But when I was born, I had a first operation, arms and splints didn't feed so well, but other than that, and a few operations along the way to repair it, I didn't have a cleft lip, just a cleft lip.
Yes.
I've not experienced anything in the way of pain beyond the usual trips, slips and falls that any child comes across. I mean, my repair and future repairs and rebuild of my nose and things, because I had a flat nose on one side, it's nothing significant when you compare it to falling off your bike and breaking your leg or something like that. It's just something you recover from, and I never experienced any bullying. Sometimes I had a few questions when I was younger, just from inquisitive children. What have you done? Have you had a fight? Have you bumped into something? Oh, no, it's just a cleft lip. Oh, what's that? I was born like this. And show them what I look like by pretending there's no skin on the lip. And I'm just astonished that, I mean, people make their choices, but I'm just astonished that people would be willing, perhaps because they're misinformed, to go through an abortion and end a life that is full of happiness and joy just because of something that I don't believe at all is a disability.
Could I just come in here, please?
Nick, before you do, Nick, would you mind? I just want to bring in Rob in Leicester. I'll definitely come back to you, Nick. Don't worry. And Ollie as well. Hi, Rob. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. Tell us your own experience.
We lost a son at 24 weeks. We made the very difficult choice of having our son aborted. He was diagnosed with osteogenesis imperfecta, which is essentially brittle bone. And it was probably the most harrowing decision me and my wife have ever had to make. Still some pain when I talk about it now, to be honest. But I do feel it's appropriate for the parents to be given a choice when there is a decision to be made. Now, it's absolutely essential, I agree with all the people, that all the information is given, and whilst ours wasn't what was termed earlier a cosmetic disability, even if it had been a cosmetic disability, we would like to, we would like to have the decision, or we would have liked to have the decision on whether we want to bring that child into the world or not, because most decent people will make the decision based on what they feel is best for that child. And for politicians to again be foist themselves on personal choice, it really disturbs me, because more and more they seem to want to tell us what to do and not give us the right to make our own choices, which, notwithstanding what the gentleman said, that his choice would have been clear. He chose to keep his son, and it sounds like a great decision. But he was given that choice. And I also would like to just mention that the consultant who we were lucky enough to have, she was marvellous. She gave us all the advice. She absolutely left the decision to us. She didn't present any bias. And we made that decision ourselves. We as unhappy as it made us feel at the time, we are still absolutely comfortable it was the right decision to make. And as a Christian, we gave our son a Christian burial. He was named, he was christened and given a Christian burial. So, we were very comfortable. But I think the important thing for me is that parents keep the choice, because they're the ones who have to live with that choice, whatever it is. And they're the ones who should be allowed to make that choice and not have things forced upon them by the government.
Can I ask you why you made that decision, you and your partner?
Yes, as I mentioned, Daniel James was diagnosed with osteogenesis imperfecta, which is brittle bone. Mm. We were given advice with regard to his potential life longevity. We were given advice with his the standard of his life and what we might expect for him. And from that information, we decided it was best for him not to have to suffer the way he would clearly have suffered throughout his life. So
right.
We made that decision. Mm.
Most decision
in my life, that one.
It was what, Rob?
Most decision of my life and my wife's life.
Yeah. Nick, go ahead, talk to Rob.
Rob, I'm very sorry for your loss there. What I was going
to
say...
Thank you. It was 8 years ago, and you know, you come to terms with things, and as they were absolutely comfortable, it was still the right decision to have been made.
Yeah, but both you and some of the other people there have had your problems have been very severe problems. I can only speak in relation to myself, family, my knowledge of clefts. All I'd just say is that once the scans are complete, I think that it's responsibility of the doctors to make sure the parents have the information available, that they do see consultants. And once they do see consultants and they get the information that certainly in relation to palate and cleft, these are not life-threatening, life-huge-changing situations. All I can say is I've gone on to fulfill a professional career. I'm extremely fortunate. I'm very blessed to do what I do. My children are fantastic. They're the light of my life, and I just cannot bear the thought that a decision to abort a fetus for a cleft lip, cleft palate, I personally just cannot agree with that.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think the critical thing is to be able to define what is and what isn't something that's life-threatening or life-changing.
Which is information.
Those words...
Can I come in with one final point, Victoria?
Yes, Karen, of course. I'm just going to say those words, life-threatening, life-changing, are not used in the Abortion Act 1967. It doesn't use phrases like that. But anyway, go on, Karen.
The way that Fiona Bruce was talking this morning, that the MP was talking, I got the impression that that her aim that she's perhaps not talking about is that she wants to take away that choice. And
I asked her that, and she said,
"For that to happen."
Yeah, I did ask her that, and she said, "No, we want the laws to be reviewed," which, you know, potentially may ultimately lead to choice being taken away or not.
I know, and I wouldn't want that choice for parents to be taken away.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I mean, that's absolutely my point. Robin Leicestershire.
Yeah.
Yeah, my point is, I was listening to Nick, and, you know, I think it's marvellous that he's had a great life and his family are having a great life, and I think that's wonderful. It's wonderful to hear people say that. Notwithstanding a cleft lip or otherwise, you know, it's great to hear people having a great life, so good news. My only point in this is that if we suddenly say that, well, no, it's not for parents, and I'm not really clear what Fiona Bruce has said now. If she wants a parliamentary debate, I'm not sure what her goals are or her objectives are from that parliamentary debate, other than considering removing that right from the parents. Now, the parents are the ones who really should be making that decision, because they're basically making a decision for their child. And throughout our sons and daughters' childhood, we make those decisions.
Yeah.
And whether we make them up to 24 weeks or 10 years or whatever it is, those decisions have to be ours. As long as our decisions are legal and appropriate, which they tend to be with most decent parents, then they've got to be our decisions. Nick made a great point that, you know, cleft lip, you know, no need for people to abort a fetus for a cleft lip. I absolutely agree with that. I certainly wouldn't have made that choice. But for other people, I can't speak for them, and I wouldn't speak for them. For other people, that even with the understanding of what cleft lip is and can mean for a child, it might be too much for some people. And for them, that choice might be the right choice. So I wouldn't dream of being arrogant enough to speak for other people and to force my beliefs onto them or my choices onto them, and we have to give parents that choice.